It's easy for you to stop believing God. It's easy for you to stop trusting God.
But Dr. Tony Evans says it's possible to get through periods of unbelief possessing a stronger faith than ever before.
Jesus allows fearful situations in our lives so that he can come to us in a way he has never come to us before.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. There are a lot of things to be afraid of these days, tempting us to stop trusting and stop believing God. But today, Dr. Evans explains how the Lord can use our fear to actually build our faith. Let's join him.
Today, I want to talk to you about freedom from fear. Today, there's a lot to be afraid of. We're fearful for our children growing up in this world where evil people are doing evil things to the most vulnerable of us in society. We're fearful for our health. And you can see it when something even a little bit is wrong, the worry comes on. And then you watch TV and you don't know what to eat. One minute, one study finds something wrong with it. Then another study says, well, it wasn't that bad. And then the medicine they tell you to take might kill you. It just, you don't know what to do. And you can become fearful medically. We can become certainly fearful financially, fear that the collapse in the culture is going to render us homeless or penniless. And yet, while there are many things that can create fear, cause fear, God does not want us to be owned by fear. He doesn't want us to walk around afraid. The question is, how do I overcome this thing called fear when it becomes a phobia, when it becomes my modus operandi, when it becomes the means by which I function? I live in fear. We can't remove all the scary moments that may ascend into our lives. But I'm talking about where fear has become normative in your life. The Bible talks about so much about fear. So many times the word is used in the Bible, sometimes in a negative sense, other times it's in a positive sense when it tells us to fear the Lord. It's used in a positive sense in terms of about our reverence for God, but it's regularly used in a negative sense that is being terrorized by that which is perceived to bring us harm. Of all the passages we could go to, and they are legion, I want to take you to one of my favorites. It's a story found in Matthew, Mark, and John. But I'm going to look at Matthew's version because Matthew tells us something the other two do not about Peter's involvement in this situation. So I want to give you some principles right now to deal with fear. Verse 22 says of Matthew 14, immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from land, battered by the waves, for the winds were contrary. If you are in the will of God, Jesus has me here. If you are in the will of God, Jesus has me here. You see, verse 22 says that immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side. It was while they were doing what Jesus told them to do that they ran into a fearful situation. We're not talking about people who say, I don't care about Jesus, I don't care about God, I don't care about God's will, I'm going to do my own thing. These disciples at this time were in the perfect will of God and also in a perfect storm. In other words, obeying God can sometimes lead to rough sailing. Now, I know we often hear, you know, follow Jesus and it won't rain. But these gentlemen are following Jesus, and it says that the boat was being battered by the waves. Has life ever beat you up? To be battered. It's just, and the thing about the storm is you can't control it. You have absolutely no say-so about the wind and the waves. It is out of your control, and Jesus put me here. Isn't that one of the reasons why we ask a lot of why questions to Jesus? Why you have me here? Well, first thing I want you to know, when life makes you fearful, and you're going to see how afraid these disciples were in a moment, that if you have committed yourself to Jesus Christ, and to the best of your knowledge, you are operating in his will, then that situation that's making you fearful, Jesus put you in. See, one of the great truths of the Bible that we have to understand is nothing comes to you without passing through his fingers first. It's called sovereignty. That in order for it to get to you, it's got to get to you by permission. So these disciples were in the perfect will of God, yet they are struggling with a bad situation that is going to make them very, very much afraid. Let me go into a little bit more of the detail of their situation. They're in a storm following what Jesus told them to do. We're going to be told in a moment it was the fourth watch. That means 3 to 6 o'clock a.m. So it's dark outside. Not only is the wind beating them up, but they can't see straight. And you know, sometimes when things come out of nowhere and start beating you up and making you afraid, you can't see. You can't see. Everything's a blur. It's dark. Not only that, we're told that in Mark 6, where Mark talked about it, that they were in the middle of the sea. In other words, they're halfway to their journey. So what do you do when you're halfway? Do you keep going? Do you turn back? You Malcolm in the middle. You stuck. Let me tell you something else. Jesus was nowhere to be found. Jesus sent them, and he went to a prayer meeting. Because verse 23 says he went up to the mountain to pray. So when circumstances cause you to be afraid and you are doing what Jesus tells you to do, Jesus has you here. You're not just there. Because whatever is happening there didn't catch him by surprise. Now, I know it shook you up. But it didn't catch him by surprise because you were in his will. You were doing what he said do. Now, if you're out of his will, you're rebelling against him, well, that's another kind of situation. But they were doing what Jesus said do. So the first thing is, you have to understand, Jesus has me here. I don't like being here. I'm scared to be here. I don't want to be here. But I wouldn't have been here if I hadn't done what he told me to do. He told me to do this, and look at where we are. Second principle, when you're in a scary situation, I want you to know Jesus is praying for you. It says in verse 23, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray, and he was there alone. So he sends his disciples to cross the sea without him. He goes to a prayer meeting. Well, Jesus, if you know you're sending me out, and you know I'm going to be in a storm, can't you pray with me? You go to a separate location and then you pray. This is called intercession. Jesus' full-time job right now, sitting on the right hand of the Father, is to intercede for you. Now, let me explain something. This is really what you want Jesus doing. You want Jesus going to bat for you, interceding with the Father. In John 11, Martha told Jesus, whatever you ask of the Father, he will do it. We've been praying, but we evidently not getting through. We need you to pray. Now, why does Jesus need to intercede for you and me? An intercessor is a go-between, like getting a lawyer. He's a go-between between the client and the courts. It's a go-between. You see, Jesus has two very vital characteristics you need to know about. He's fully God, so he knows what God's talking about, but he's fully man, and he knows what man is going through. See, the Father knows what you're going through, but he's never gone through it. Only the Son has gone through what it feels like and looks like to be human. The Father has never been human. The God, the Son, Jesus Christ, is the human member of the Trinity. But he's also God. He's what Job called an umpire. Somebody to stand between me and God. Somebody who understands God, but somebody who understands me. It would be like a male doctor delivering a baby and a female doctor delivering a baby. Both of them know what they're doing. But if that female doctor has had some kids, she understands what you're going through. See, the male doctor can pat you on the back and say, it's going to be all right, and it won't be long, and just hang in there and push, and all that. The male doctor can say it, but he can't feel it because he's never had to go through it. Now, he can watch you go through it, and he knows what to do about it, but he can't enter into your experience because he's never been pregnant. But now, this female doctor with three kids, who patting you on the back and say, I done laid where you're laying before. I done gone ooh, ah, before. I have been where you are. So I not only can help you through it, I can walk with you through it because I have experienced it myself. The reason why Jesus intercedes from us is because he can talk to the Father like a human being. But he can also meet the standards of the Father because he's the perfect Son of God. And we live in our imperfection. So what Jesus does when we're in his will in a difficult situation is he intercedes for us.
So when Jesus intercedes for us, what is he praying? Well, Dr. Evans will have the answer for us when he continues this message from his series, Living Above the Circumstances. This two-volume, 15-message compilation talks about how God cares for you and can meet your needs, even as you're confronted by some of the toughest problems life has to offer. We want to help you experience a deep, unshakable peace no matter what's going on. So we're offering this entire collection on CD or downloadable MP3s with our thanks when you make a contribution to help support Tony's ministry. And in addition to the audio messages, for a limited time, we're also able to include a copy of Let It Go, Dr. Evans' life-changing booklet, packed with wisdom that can help you break the emotional chains of fear and worry. Contact us today at TonyEvans.org to make a contribution and request your copy of this special resource bundle. Or give us a call at 1-800-800-3222 to let a friendly resource team member assist you. That's 1-800-800-3222. I'll repeat that information for you after part two of today's lesson, coming up right after this.
Today, our atmosphere is being contaminated by a sense of selfishness. It is in kindness that we are not destroyed.
Join Tony Evans in his Kindness in the Culture campaign to set a new standard for our nation. Take part by doing a practical act of kindness for someone each week. Then pray with them and share the gospel with them through our convenient kindness cards. Visit TonyEvans.org to learn more. Be kind. Change culture.
He expects his people to be ambassadors of kindness. Nice can be your persona. Nice can be your personality. Kindness is your action.
Well, let's get back to our message now. Here's Dr. Evans.
So Jesus Christ is praying for you. Now the question is, what exactly is Jesus praying? In Luke 22, Jesus told Peter, he said, Peter, I'm praying for you. What are you praying for, Peter, Jesus? Jesus says, I'm praying that your faith fail not. I am praying that your faith fail not. Why? Because when you have been terrorized by something, it's easy for your faith to fail. It's easy for you to stop believing God. It's easy for you to stop trusting God. It's easy for you to believe that if I hadn't followed God, I wouldn't be in this mess. It's easy for your faith to fail when you're in a terrorizing situation and you are afraid. He said, Peter, I'm praying that you hang in there and don't walk away from me because the going has gotten tough. And if the truth were told, there are many people here who fear has caused their faith to fail. It's the single person who's afraid, if I follow Jesus, I may never get married. I'm afraid I'll be single all my life. And the temptation of faith failing causes them to marry a non-Christian, even though they know that's not God's will. It's the person who has no biblical grounds for divorce, but they just don't want to be married anymore because they're not happy. And so the temptation is for the faith to fail because they're afraid I'm going to be in this miserable relationship for the rest of my life. And the faith fails. Jesus says, I'm interceding. I know it's hard. I know the waves are beating you down and are beating you to death, but I pray that your faith does not fail. In fact, when Mark 6 says it, talks about it, it says, and Jesus saw him struggling. They were in the middle of the water. They were rowing their boats and they're trying to go this way. It says, but the wind was contrary. In other words, the wind was blowing the opposite direction. And it was strong and was beating the boat to death. In other words, they're trying to get where God tells them to go and the wind won't let them. Jesus, why tell me to go there if you're not going to let me get there? Why tell me to do this if you're not going to help me get it done? Why are you sending me through all this trouble and I'm making no progress? Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm making no progress, and not only am I not making no progress, I'm scared. I'm scared because I'm being beat down with these winds and waves and problems and difficulties, and I'm not getting anywhere. It says Jesus saw him struggling. He's watching him struggle. Now, it's 3, 4, or 5 o'clock in the morning. That means it's dark. It's the fourth watch. They are 4 miles out because the Sea of Galilee is about 8 miles long. So they're halfway, they're in the middle. So they're 3.5, 4 miles out. There are no lights on the Sea of Galilee. It's pitch black. How Jesus gonna be seeing them struggle? That is, unless he's got eyes that are not like your normal 20/20. But I guess being the Son of God, you can see things. God sees your struggle. He sees your fear. He sees that the waves of life are beating at you and you don't know that you can make it and you are scared to death. And he's praying for you. Thirdly, Jesus will come to you. Verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. Oh, this is sweet. This is so sweet. I don't even know what to say. I just want to give the benediction and go home. Watch this now. They are scared to death. You're going to see that in just a second. They're terrified because they don't know whether they're going to live or die. And they don't know whether they're going to live or die doing what Jesus told them to do. Jesus knew where they were. He's praying for them. Now he's walking on the water. But wait a minute. Maybe I missed something. Wasn't the water the problem? Wasn't the water what all this issue was about, the winds and the waves beating the ship down? Watch this now. Jesus came to them walking on their problem. Stick with me now. The winds and the wave was their problem. Jesus came to them on top of the thing that was wrong. In other words, Jesus let the problem be the staircase by which he reached them. See, most of us look at what's wrong and we say, where is Jesus? Jesus is looking at what's wrong and saying, that is a great path to get to you. In other words, Jesus allows fearful situations in our lives so that he can come to us in a way he has never come to us before. Look at the next verse. It says, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. And they said, it is a ghost. And they cried out in fear. These are 12 grown men. They're terrified. Why are they scared? Because Jesus was coming to them in a way he had never come to them before, because they had never seen him walking on water. See, maybe they thought Jesus can't walk on water, because we've never seen Jesus walk on water. So that can't be Jesus walking on water, because I've never seen it, never heard anybody testify that they've seen it, don't expect it, therefore it can't be. When actually Jesus was using the thing that was scaring them as the way of getting to them, because he wanted them to see him come in a way they had never seen him come before. One of the reasons God allows us to be in fearful situations is so he can let you see something about him you never saw before. He wants to let you see him in a way you've never discovered him before. Because see, a lot of us have got God in a little box. We got him. This is the way God does things. This is how God does things. This is when God does things. And we got God trapped. So if God comes another way, we're going to be like the disciples. It's a ghost. And we're not talking Casper. This is a scary ghost. This is a terrifying situation. And what terrified them was their answer. What terrified them was their solution. What terrifies them was the answer to their problem. They just didn't recognize it, because they had never seen him this way before. Listen, when God puts you in a scary situation, he knows you're there. He's praying for you. And guess what? He coming. He coming. But he may be coming in a way you've never seen him before. And that's why you can't put him in a box. Because God will blow your mind this time. He will let you discover some things that you had never imagined he would do. And so he walks to them in the middle of the sea. And when does he walk to them? When no human options are left, because they're in the middle. Because we don't know which way to go. So there's no human options left. Okay. Immediately Jesus spoke to them when he heard them screaming. That's the next line. It says, they cried out, he spoke quick. Okay. Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. He speaks the word before he solves the problem. Okay? The storm is still raging. They're screaming because they think they've got a ghost on their hands. He says, take courage. It is I. Stop being afraid. Fear was controlling them. God comforts them with his word before he changes their circumstances. So when you are afraid, listen for his voice, because he is coming to you. Just knowing he uses things that are causing you to be afraid as a place that he uses as his staircase to come to you in a way you've never seen him before, to blow your mind.
Dr. Tony Evans, talking about how God gives us freedom from fear. And he'll have more to say on this subject tomorrow in part two of this message. In the meantime, if you'd like to receive this entire lesson to review for yourself or to pass along to someone you care about, get in touch with us for details on the message titled Freedom from Fear. Better yet, get it as a part of Tony's current 2-volume 15-message audio compilation called Living Above the Circumstances. As I mentioned earlier, we're bundling it together with his popular booklet, Let It Go, and making both of these resources available to you as our thank you gift for your donation to the Ministry of the Alternative. Just visit TonyEvans.org today to get all the details. Again, that's TonyEvans.org. Or give us a call at 1-800-800-3222. That's 1-800-800-3222. Well, tomorrow we'll have more from Dr. Evans about how to keep moving forward in faith, even when fear tries to shut us down. I hope you'll join us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.